You know, I'm actually glad that you queued that up because I already had It Wasn't Me set up to play in just a second here after breakfast. I'll save that for the ad.
The outro music, we're going to get hit with a copyright.
I'll do my third choice for karaoke. Have you done karaoke, Neil?
Never. I've gone to karaoke. I don't sing karaoke.
Okay.
He just sings beautifully.
I'm sure you have at least like a solid voice with the amount of like
talking you do.
Yeah.
I should probably silence that.
I feel like your critique of audio quality in general automatically applies to and corrects your voice whenever you're off. You're like, ooh, that was a little pitchy. Let me try again.
Oh, I don't know if I can live up to that expectation now.
We're not going to ask you to sing.
What's up, everybody? It's episode potentially 85 or 86.
86, depending, I believe.
It depends
it could
on
be
if,
87.
It depends on if this release is as like a second part, since 85 hasn't gone up yet because I've been busy.
Do you want to turn me down just a little bit?
Fancy rum in your headphones specifically?
Headphones specifically, yes.
Okay, I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm Scott.
Hey, Scott, you're with us in person for once.
No, he's not. That's a trick of the cameras.
Hologram, baby.
Oh, yeah. We did up our game. We have the Miku Hatsune team with us now. And for anyone who can't see Scott, you can find us on YouTube, but you can also hear his voice on iTunes and Apple Podcasts as well.
That's right. And Stitcher.
Possibly.
Someday we're going to get that Spotify sponsorship. That's coming.
So I did hear that it's apparently pretty hard to get onto Spotify.
It is, but Alex Jones made it, so we can too.
Is he on Spotify now?
I think he got booted off.
Oh.
I mean, he's gotten booted off of most everything.
Twitter and, yeah, I guess yeah. That's all that really matters. YouTube as well, I think, has removed most of his stuff. You can still see some of his contributors' work.
But he's not mad about it. He's trying to make it very clear that he's not mad about getting booted off of these platforms.
Is he actually mad about it?
Oh, of course. He's super pissed. That's how he makes all his money. But this enough is, about him. Yeah, he doesn't really warrant any more conversation.
Exactly. And this is not a podcast about politics, even though sometimes I make it out to be. It's a podcast about video games, usually.
When we play them.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to this week?
Go ahead, Cookie.
So the earlier part of the week was kind of boring. Just been doing something, and then Thursday night, the real week kicked off when I got to pick up a white person from an airport.
Russian mail order bride?
Yes. Unfortunately, she was bald, had a penis, and was slightly taller than me.
So the Asian ones didn't work out for you?
Yeah, unfortunately not.
It's that's why you always have to check the product reviews.
Unexpected penis.
But he decided to keep me. He really didn't want to put together that return package. So here I am.
My toilet troubles finally ended, mostly. Our toilet broke on Wednesday. It was leaking. It was leaking.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were talking about yourself for a second, like toilet problems isn't related to your own.
No, the actual toilet was leaking upstairs. So Wednesday after work, I started replacing parts of the toilet. And Thursday after work, I started replacing more parts of the toilet. We pretty much have a brand new toilet besides all the ceramic portions of it. And finally got that fixed. And then right after I got done like cleaning everything up so that way Scott can have a functional bathroom upstairs, the shutoff valve started leaking. And I was like, fuck it, we'll deal with this tomorrow. I also broke the handle, so there's one of those coming in on Monday. It mostly works upstairs.
There are three bathrooms in this house, or 2.5, yes. I guess, to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, so Scott's had kind of a jankety bathroom, but it's fine.
I can make it work.
That's all that matters.
It's all right. He just pees in the sink anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
It's a lot better in Montana. You have to dig a hole in the woods just to, you know, use the bathroom.
But yeah, so besides picking up Scott, it's just been like a nonstop board game and
Hangout sesh,
and got to watch the Bleach live action movie last night. Not as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
And like, you did that portion without Scott, though, right?
I did that portion without Scott, because
mercifully.
Romantic film as well, so.
Pretty much. It was pretty much a date night for me and Lizzie. We were like, oh, God, thank God, Scott's gone now. We could do whatever we want. We're like, what are we going to do? oh, let's watch the Bleach movie. Also, we Scott told us he was cold on Friday, so we actually put the comforter on the Kotatsu and started it up, and now it's lovely.
It's great. It is very nice. We will have to give you a demonstration later.
So does the grate or the grill of the heating element actually get too hot or anything?
No. One's burned their toes yet.
You can't. I've actually purposely touched it on several occasions while everyone's like underneath it.
Yeah, so how does that work? How
it's got like crushed velvet over the metal.
Distributes the heat or something.
Crushed velvet?
So basically it's a big open coil with just like a metal sheet and a fan that blows the heat down. But then like instead of having, you know, just bare metal, it's got like a velvet-like texture that's kind of like a crushed velvety texture that if you touch it, it kind of like diffuses the heat so that way you're not scalding yourself on a 1,000-degree piece of metal. And somehow it doesn't set things on fire, which is excellent.
It's got to have like a very high temperature resistance, and then it probably reflects half that heat back into the coil area or something, which also saves you power too, which is nice.
Hmm.
Assuming that it's based off of a temperature output and it's not just an electrical output where it's like, okay, you've set it to this much wattage, it's just going to continue to pump out that much wattage.
Nah, because the after it hits a certain temperature, the actual it'll shut off for a sec, for a little bit, and then it'll kick back in. So yeah, so the Kotatsu's been extra nice, and it's just been nonstop drinking and board gaming, pretty much.
Yeah, I saw Gloomhaven behind you.
Haven't played that yet.
So Snakes and Ladders, or
Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders. Jeez.
I mean, Snakes and Ladders was the original version of that game.
And then
it was Snakes Before Slides.
Yep. And then when they did the Chutes and Ladders, Samuel Jackson tried to bring snakes back, but then he figured he didn't like them on planes.
Snakes and planes.
Then it became Chutes and Ladders for the colloquial term for handguns, and so you get handgunned down now when you.
We gotta play Flick 'em Up before you leave.
Oh yeah, we should. We've been playing sort of a Settlers of Catan type of.
Did we finish that at all?
We did.
Okay, that's good.
Something Koro, Machi Koro.
Yeah, Machi Koro.
Machi Koro. It is essentially a game where you take four different types of like land asset cards that you buy over time that have essentially four types of effects. You have either when somebody rolls a dice, everybody can benefit financially from it. There's another one that's only on your turn if you roll it, do you get paid? There's another one where if somebody else rolls it, they pay you. And then there's another one where if you roll it, people pay you. And so
it's like everyone pays you.
And it's a great, like, well, we invited one of my friends, Zach, over to play, and he's a big math guy, and he ended up, did he sweep twice?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just like, I see the numbers. He put it all together and crushed twice in a row. But it does have this like very small risk reward factor in some of the builds. I was going for one in which almost 11 out of the 12 rolls were going to be either like somewhat positive to neutral to negative for me, and then one that would have made me rich enough to like buy out the game immediately, but the roll never came. But it's a very fun game. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Then last night was just a bunch of that Scott missed after me and Lizzie got done with our date night. Some friends came over to drink and we played some more board games, and it was just a bunch of love letter. It's good times. Good times had by all. That's like non-gaming related stuff that I've been doing.
On my end, the only difference to that week, since I've been hanging out with Cookie for pretty much all my free time, is I went to a wedding last night and hung out with some other friends. Congratulations to Kyle and Beth Ann. Beautiful wedding. Wonderful time. We played a couple video games together, and that's actually all I have to bring in for experience on the video games portion. But
did they bring in a Switch into the reception? Was that what happened?
No, but I have brought my Switch to other weddings for sure during the reception portion. If the dance floor is not popping, then it's nice to like get in a little Breath of the Wild action just over at a table. People, like, that's the beauty of the Switch, is people are actually interested that you have this like gaming platform that you can bring out with you that's not, it's not as private as a handheld console like PSP or
a Game Boy,
Game Boy or something, because that it's like somebody has to be right over your shoulder, which most people aren't comfortable just like peeking over your shoulder if they don't know you really well.
But a lot of people are like, oh, is that a Switch?
And what is
like,
this thing on the table? Yeah.
So yeah, it's my Nintendo Switch. Would you like to
play?
And
I'm doing this. yes, it's Breath of the Wild, so it doesn't do anything, but it helps me focus. but yeah, I've done that, and then you let people play it and try it out, and you end up being the life of the party by doing the most antisocial thing you can do in a party.
Yeah. I was going to ask at what point the novelty wears off that bringing out a Switch would be essentially the same thing as using a Game Boy or...
Yeah, it hasn't.
We're not there yet.
We apparently. Literally are not everywhere I take my Switch. So the last wedding that I went to in Minnesota,
yeah.
I actually took my Switch everywhere I went. And everyone was like, oh, is that a Switch? I'm like, yeah, no, it's a Switch.
I gotta see that.
What are you playing? Oh, fighting game. Would you like to play? So then I usually detest the Joy-Cons, set the kickstand up, give them a Joy-Con, and like, so these are your buttons. I know it's a little cramped, but you're going to have to deal with it. And they're usually like, oh man, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Totally want to convince my wife to let me get one.
As soon as Mario Party comes out, I think it will actually even cause a bit of a resurgence on how much you can integrate the Switch into, or like interject it into social situations. You're just like,
it's going to be like 1-2 hey, Switch, but I've everyone got, already knows.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I've got Mario Party. You just set it down on the table and you're like, it's right here and ready to go. How many people are going to say no to that?
Depends. Is this before or after Cookie is like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom now. Click, click. And walks to the restroom.
It's before. It is before. And then he brings back and he's like, I tried to wash it with soap. And for some reason, the screen's going all crazy now. Nintendo Switch, best social gaming platform ever. Which makes sense. I think they knew that was coming, but we all laughed at the ads.
Maybe best social within the real world.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I'm sorry. In a physical sense for like social gaming, it is the most accessible for non-gamers. Because like the LAN party, I mean, computer gaming, or even when you used to be able to like hook 8 GameCubes up to one another for Mario Kart or something, like there are other ways to have very social and fun gaming experiences, but this is the first one where you can have one console and a fair number of people, at least 4 players, or you know,
at most four players,
yeah,
unless you have two consoles,
until what is it, Smash Ultimate comes out and they have eight player maps.
Oh yeah, how's that gonna work?
Oh, I think you'll be able to pair all your controllers to it.
Chaos.
Yeah,
so that's how it's gonna work.
It will be chaotic, I'm sure. Especially if you're trying to do it on that tiny ass screen. I'm gonna pick the smallest character possible, so I can't even see me.
You're gonna be the Meltan of the group.
Yeah. I keep hearing Meltan, and since I started hearing you say that, I kept thinking like, this guy doesn't know how to say milk tank. What the heck? Like. For anybody who doesn't know, Meltan is a Pokemon that is apparently new and looks like some leftover parts in your garage.
Pretty much. So during the Chikorita event that happened last week when I was camping, all of a sudden, everyone, the internet freaked out and they were like, what the fuck is this?
What's this Pokemon? Who's that Pokemon? So no one fucking knows.
Is it the natural evolution of the garbage can Pokemon?
No. Oh, no.
No.
It's the baby version. It has to collect more garbage.
We think it might have something to do with Ditto. Maybe. I have no idea, but apparently it's this generation's like Celebi.
Hmm.
So, but for some reason, it's also going to be in the Let's Go games.
Yeah, just because it's metal, I was like, oh, it's the next Beldum. It's going to look like this weird fucking thing, and it'll become a little bit weirder, and then all of a sudden you have a Mega Trost or whatever they call it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Beldum is it's like the arm Pokemon that evolves into a Metang. That's what it is. And then the last one, I don't remember. But it was a pseudo like post initial release legendary. Like you had to beat the game to get access to it in Ruby and Sapphire.
Can I point something out?
You can say whatever you want.
While the rest of the gaming community is going crazy over Bowsette, the two of you are going crazy over a new Pokemon.
I'm not about Bowsette. I'm about Bowsette. Have you seen?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Bowsette is fucking sweet.
I don't know, man. Bowsette just got too much, has more of a Wendy's vibe for me.
Okay, hold on. Better yet, if you think Bowsette's good, have you seen the combination of Urgot from League of Legends to Urget?
No. I'm about to, though.
So. Urgot is this he's like a crab machine robot monster in League of Legends, which, yeah, basically, kind of combined Bane, movie Bane, I would say, with from Batman, with
a crab.
A crab monster that has like a Gatling gun, along with the Pokemon fanaticism going on. What video games have you guys been playing?
DBZ Fighters. I've been having to look up counter strategies to Android 16.
Because I've been dunking on him.
Android 16 literally has a move where he gets like temporary super armor and then grabs a character and pile drives their skull into the ground. And Cookie's figured out how to make a combo where he just repeatedly does that over and over.
Is he going to get nerfed?
Nah, man. Sonic Fox does this all the time. It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Trunks is also pretty great in that game, too.
Like Future Trunks?
Future Trunks, yeah. Mirai Trunks. He's got a sword for his strong attack that has a better, like, it essentially has an arc where the rest of the strong attacks for a lot of characters is essentially a strong attack that's straightforward with a little bit more reach. So if someone's coming at you with, like, a Dragon Rush, which is the, like, powered dash attack, he can cut at them if they're coming from a approach from above or something. So it's really nice, and I've been using that to essentially try and... I shouldn't actually talk about my secrets in front of Cookie. I want to win more games. but I pretty much bake him into any team composition that I want to win against Cookie with.
And I'm just trying to find like the most... the cheapest shit ever, so I'll usually pick Captain Ginyu. We had a Ginyu off. He got tired of my Captain Ginyu getting beat up and then doing
swapping
the body change
at the last second with me. Yeah.
So he, every time he sees Ginyu now, he's been picking Ginyu as well. And as he sees me try and start that special, he'll mash the switch button. And he actually got it off once where I swapped, thought I was getting some character. And then next thing you know, Ginyu's in my fucking way. So I get a Ginyu. And then he swaps back, but I was like, okay, but at least it's a Ginyu with more health.
Yeah.
And then he immediately swaps back, and I was like, fuck.
I also did the Ginyu swap and immediately gave him back his Ginyu, and I was like, no, I'm keeping mine. Like,
so when you play as Ginyu, are you purposely weakening yourself?
Yeah,
or like
you're letting
hit?
Because his kit isn't very good otherwise.
It's not.
And his special attacks, like everybody has a different type of ki blast.
He calls the Ginyu Force.
He calls in the Ginyu Force, so it's like a random effect special attack. And some of them are good. Others are like pretty ineffective, to be polite. Like,
yes.
So it's very interesting.
I'm so detached from Dragon Ball Z story and lore, but is Captain Ginyu like the version that we know Captain Ginyu as? Is that technically not his original version? Like he just keeps beating people by swapping bodies with him after he's been beaten up?
Technically, yeah, because now he's a frog in the Z. Well, no, I guess that frog
Super?
Is probably
Didn't he
dead.
I thought he swapped out of the frog at some point in time. Or they bring in the frog a lot, so I don't know if they're just like trying to reference, hey, remember this from
remember that one time
400
Gohan?
Episodes ago? No, there is. They do bring the frog around every once in a while, so I think they want to keep Ginyu available in the canon someday. I think he can make the final ultimate boss when he switches bodies with Ultimate Shenron or whatever, and then he's like, finally, I've done it.
Feels like it's building up a comical ending then at that point. He swaps with Ultimate Shenron and then gets beaten handily by everyone.
I mean...
he swaps with Ultimate Shenron and then then someone just asked for like a random wish, and then all seven
oh, yeah,
Dragon Balls just disperse, and he's like, fuck.
I mean, what is it? Who does the manga for Dragon Ball Z?
Akira Toriyama.
Okay. He's primarily in comedy, right? Like he did Dr. Slump or whatever for his first, you know, big debut, and then Dragon Ball, which was much more comedy oriented than it was anything else. And even like Dragon Ball, like Dragon Ball Z deviates from that, but Dragon Ball Super is sort of a return to form, that it has a lot more comedy in it than its predecessor of Dragon Ball Z. Or, I mean, GT, very funny as a joke, but...
if you're trying to take it as your canon lore, it is maybe disappointing, right? Yeah.
So, I don't know, like that... Why not? We've given him an option right here, and who is going to suspect that he listens to our podcast and took this idea? Like, he can pretty much say he came up with it on his own.
But yeah, so we've been playing a bunch of Dragon Ball Z Fighters. This weekend, the beta for Soul Calibur 6, network test for Soul Calibur 6 has been going on.
And I've been feeling better watching Cookie players who just like have learned the cheese move for their particular fighter in Soul Calibur.
And I'm just over here trying to learn things with it. But so they really got to do something about the network, but I guess it's a network test because day one, it was like, okay, maybe I won't get to play anybody because we'd sit, me and Scott would be sitting here looking at a loading screen for about 5 minutes of searching for opponent. And I was like, okay, this is me on 4+ bars just in my region. So let me just go any bars just in my region. And then it'll be like, okay, instead of 5 minutes, it's 3 minutes of searching for person, but we found a person. Guess what? He also happens to have 4 bars, and it's just fine. Actually, he had five, one of the things that he's got 5 bars. It's perfect. And partway through the thing, everything just goes, The network was really bad.
It's not like it's a server-hosted game. It's peer-to-peer, right?
It is peer-to-peer. So at some point, was just god-awful. But then, like, I'll be connecting to people in, like, Paris. So I've learned that just doing any amount of bars in any region works just fine because I've connected to people in France, Russia, the different parts of the UK, and it's just been beautiful. But then I'll come back to the fucking States, and it's just the worst. And you can kind of tell sometimes, even at the beginning of a game, before the match even starts, you'll hear the sound clips of everyone like talking, doing their intro, and it'll just be off, and you're like, oh, this is going to be rough. Let's go! See, I've been playing a lot of fighting games this weekend.
I'm curious as to why the connection itself would determine like off lip syncing. Because you think if it's just that like the code tells your, like plays the command to do the intro voice and animation, you think those things would be lined up automatically.
Nah, man. Because it's like, oh, there's going to be a skip here on the actual animation. So let's cut the audio off for like 0.06 seconds. And then bring it back in, but the actual video animation never slowed down or stuttered.
Yeah, I get you.
So then it's just like, yeah, gonna be fight now, Geralt.
Do you think that game lives up to the Soul Calibur name? Is this a return to form, or is it just more Soul Calibur?
What's the original Soul Calibur name really qualify as? Like, are we talking Soul Calibur 2?
Well, I mean, Soul Calibur 1 was basically like one of the most accessible fighting games. And maybe it's like a nostalgia factor, but that was like kind of in when I was in like late high school or college. But I just remember like a lot of people playing Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
So this one is very accessible without having as much of a cheese factor as Soul Calibur 3 for the GameCube with Link.
No, that's Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, was that Soul Calibur 2?
Yes, it is.
So then, yes. So it's much more accessible without having as big of a cheese factor as Soul Calibur 2 did. Because I know Soul Calibur 2, you pretty much just flick the C-stick forward and bam, Link's got his arrows out. He's ready to go. He's ready to fuck your shit. But this one, it's nice. I like the mechanics and the way they've thrown Geralt in there. So he'll do all of his Witcher moves. With this one, you can earn up to like 2 bars of special gauge, which is not normal for a 3D fighter. So that's kind of like a new thing for them. But Geralt will usually you have to wait until it's fully full, then you can do like a special thing. Geralt gets to use his Witcher abilities, and it just uses a little bit of the meter. And that's really nice. So I've just been fucking around with Geralt, Ivy, While you were gone the other day, I was playing Sophidia, and
she's the she's like a Roman or Greek goddess gal with sword and shield.
Yep.
Right.
And she's been actually a lot of fun to play.
Are there any noticeable absences from the lineup, the roster?
Lots, but this is also just like a beta test. So I was looking for Cervantes.
Not there.
He's not there.
Cervantes? Yeah. Cervantes?
Yeah, the guy with the pirate.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
Got the sword gun.
Yeah, so I was looking for him. He's not there.
The original wielder of the Soul Edge.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple other characters that aren't there, but yeah. I assume that's just because it's the test.
I mean,
because
they do have some more obscure ones. Like, Yoshimitsu is normally a bonus character that you get in those games, if I remember correctly. Like, he shows up later. They don't
not
have
more. He's pretty standard now.
He's worked into the meta? Okay. Rock is one that I always feel like comes later in the lineup.
He wasn't in there.
Whoever the gal with the parasol hidden dagger is. I used to use her a lot, and I cannot remember her name.
Is Yoshimitsu still like a mainstay in Tekken?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't played many of the recent Tekken games, and it occurred to me that's actually where Yoshimitsu is from, right? Yoshimitsu is a mythological being history, mythology.
I'm kind of curious about this now.
But yeah, the characters I remember being very similar to each other, and it's not like Yoshimitsu has to be like a skeletal robot thing in both stories.
He doesn't have his wood arm in this one. I noticed that much. Mm-mm. Like, I think he has gotten a bit of a character design.
I want to say it's like an alien arm this time.
Yeah. Well, it looks like something that's either very high tech in the sense that it doesn't look like rudimentary rotating wood blocks and gears like in previous.
Or Sekiro?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that would be great. Working Sekiro from Dark Souls, from the From Software most recent title. I think it's very cool when fighting games do take characters from other genres and work them in. Like, it's a great way to drum up excitement for both titles. Sure. It's
he's originally from Tekken.
Ah, okay. It's
oh no, he's an alien in Tekken 7.
Okay.
Is what he's an alien in.
It's just that Isabelle example, you know? You see Isabelle and you think, wow, what a fighter. I want to play Animal Crossing for 2019.
That's still like the weirdest thing to me.
That's super weird too.
He became a tentacle monster in Tekken 7. Great.
Yeah.
Japan's really focusing on like, you know what? Dead or
Back
Alive.
To their roots.
Dead or Alive might have gotten away from the titty fighter genre, but Tekken is here to bring it back. All right.
Soul Calibur too. I mean, you knock people's armor off of their body to get a little bit more exposure.
I remember that now.
And I mean, everybody's like, they've got shots. It's all armor that still does not conceal any of the like sexualized parts of the male or female bodies. And so
I don't know. Shoulders are pretty hot, man.
I mean, I like a good collarbone personally, but
that's Lizzie's favorite.
Yeah. I'll hide this.
Good. She can only see mine.
But yeah, I've always known Soul Calibur to also have the absurd like breast physics and like clothing destruction.
Taki with her
skin
suction
tight,
boob.
Yeah.
Who the fuck?
They have not changed that whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't get past that. Like, who the hell sews boob cleavage into their outfit?
That's a really good point, actually. Like, why? It's like, if you saw that suit without her on it, it would have two, like, baggy flaps near the chest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird as shit.
I mean, I can get beyond a lot of the stupid, illogical things. Like, why do you have any sort of breast shapes on, like, a breastplate, regardless? Because, like, the idea of armor, like,
comfort.
Plate armor like that is to have weapons
bounce
like,
off and deflect.
Yeah, like basically slide away from your vitals.
Unless you're trying to catch the sword in between.
And then just and have then it drive
rip it out of their hands.
But yeah, so I mean I can get over that because a lot of that you can say is like decorative and you know, let's ignore the notion of practicality in video games for a moment. Boob formed clothing just doesn't make sense to me at all because it doesn't look good either. It looks stupid, in my opinion.
Well, it makes your torso look a little like cross-eyed.
Man, I am just like imagining her being like, oh, this is a really cute, what are these outfits called? Because they're not geese, the skin suit.
Assassin suits? I don't know.
Onesie?
This is a really cute onesie.
Leotard.
But everyone's,
it's like,
yeah,
a leotard.
This is a really cute leotard. Man, why do they only make leotards for small boobed women? Then she's just like
tinkering,
taking a fabric knife and cutting out the two things and grabbing some extra fabric, and she's at a sewing machine.
There's actually an episode of Asobi Asobase, which is an anime that aired this season. It's about three girls in an all-girls school that are kind of all like just very interesting characters in their own way.
Isn't the pitch that they're just awful? Like, that's the pitch?
They're kind of awful, yeah. But there's an episode or a chapter or whatever you want to call it where a girl makes a shirt for herself for like her sewing class or something and discovers it's too big for her. So like the smartest of the three girls, who's also kind of like the dumbest in terms of common sense, is like, oh, I know what to do. And she ends up cutting out holes like where the chest would be to put more fabric so it can expand more. But in doing so, it ends up basically just giving her nipples on her shirt. And then ends up cutting an even bigger pattern out to see if she can downplay it. But then it basically ends up as Taki's shirt.
Nice.
Even Kasumi's leotard or like ninja outfit in the newest Dead or Alive is like way less sexualized than Taki's.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is the same game that has Ivy, though. Pardon me, I forgot about that.
I was telling Cookie, I was like, they keep like they whittle down her wardrobe every time. And I'm like, she's running out of like leather belts to just barely coincide with the.
Yeah, she had to join forces with Valdo to get her newest outfits. And then at that point, Valdo, like, this is maybe two or three, I don't remember. Valdo had to start wearing like fuzzy clothes that he had in his wardrobe at that point. But those fuzz physics were pretty impressive. Let's not downplay that. You guys play anything else aside from those?
Is that it? That's it for me.
Oh God, there was this game that I played where it was all that team shooting.
Yeah, I didn't. I started staring at my phone. I was like, this looks like a shooter.
Yep.
And I looked away. It highlights your enemies.
First person shooter that highlights your enemies. It's kind of like a mix of it's pretty much Warframe, but instead of space ninjas, you're U.S. soldiers, I guess, being dropped off in a place to.
You're like future soldiers too, aren't you? A little bit?
Maybe.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Did the U.S. Army make this game? Is this American soldiers or America's Army?
No.
Nah, not this time, but...
It's better than that.
I would say it's got it has a really cool feature where you push left on the D-pad, and the character actually starts looking at their gun, and then you can actually mix and match and swap your equipment and stuff on the gun.
Is that similar to Counter-Strike a little bit?
Yes, but except
it's like those radial menus, too.
But yeah, so it's nice.
You mean like if you have a scope on something, you can take that off and put it on something else?
Yeah, and it's just got a really weird way that it implements it. That's like, oh, I don't have to hit start, and what you call it, I can still be running around looking at my gun, and then I'll use the, I can only run straight though, because use the right stick to wander around on the screen and be like, oh, well, I want this scope and I want this barrel, so.
You can strafe as well too, though, right?
But yeah, and then there's no team killing, but. A lot of
people team killing.
A lot of people just shooting at each other. We can't do damage to each other.
What about that person who died in the middle of your start point? Was that a grenade that they threw?
That was a grenade that he threw.
Oh, so hold up there. So you can't kill your teammates with grenades, but you can kill yourself.
You can kill yourself.
That seems like a really good strategy of... it's dumb.
I was like, I hate it.
Don't get me wrong. That seems like an exploitable strategy where you can basically just...
Run in and glory kill yourself.
Well, have half of your team start throwing grenades into a room as the other half of your team, which would not be affected by the grenades. Yeah, basically just bum rush in.
Those players don't suggest they have that depth of knowledge. Or
no, they did not.
Except they're shooting each other constantly.
They are playing a game in which the enemies are highlighted for them to
Oh, is this only PvE? Not a...
I think maybe. I'm not sure. But yes, all the enemies were very highlighted. And it's super nice.
Just so you don't, you know,
accidentally miss an enemy.
Moving parts that are shooting at you. If those are blending into the scenery, there's a highlight for it at least.
But yeah, it's some
free
game.
What was the name of it?
Something Free that was just recently come out, I think.
Okay.
Capitalism.
Something Free?
No, it's just a game that was free.
Oh. PS4?
Yeah. And it's something. Oh, wait. Actually, I can tell you right now.
You have your PlayStation history on your phone?
No, my brother texted me the other day. He was like, hey, have you heard of this game? Warface. He was like, ever played Warface? And I was like, no, what is it? He's like, oh. It's like, download
Show me your Warface.
He told me, download it. Then does ... FPS. Like, okay.
Well, so...
It's free.
I didn't play any games this week, but while we're talking about shooters, this is kind of a shooter, not really. I went to...
Something about Love Bullets?
No, not Gun Gale, or Gun... What is it? Love Gale? I don't remember the fucking... Gal Gun, that's what it is. But no, it was not that. I went to an arcade a few weeks back for a work function, and I played the arcade cabinet for The Walking Dead, which has you on crossbows. And it was just like, I only bring this up because it was like one of the few times in recent history that I actually enjoyed like any sort of shooter. And a lot of it had to do with like the physical mechanic of having to reload the crossbow each time you shot. Or maybe, each time you shot, you had to reload it, I think. Or
like the physical, you're doing this motion, so I'm assuming that...
So there's like a mechanic that you have to pull back towards yourself. Yeah. And then there's a spring loaded into it, so it flips back to the front once you're done reloading.
That's actually kind of really nice. Cool. It's much better than...
Shoot off to the side of the screen.
Shoot off to the side of the screen, but the stupid AR sensor is terrible, so it's still like, reload, reload. God damn it, shooting behind me.
And it was especially fun just purely because like the game also tracked your accuracy and some other things. So like if you just wanted to try and get through it and win as hard as you could, so to speak,
you can reload
reload triggering like that, but it also incentivized you to treat it more like a crossbow, which is, you know, making sure you're aiming and getting your hits in and being a little more meticulous. Yeah.
Nice.
But that was super fun, actually. I didn't play any video games this week, so I can't really speculate much beyond that.
Welcome to the Fancy Ramen Podcast. It's just
where
a podcast
we try to
of,
play games.
It's a podcast of three dudes who hang out and just say what we did this week
and what games we want to play.
Yeah, that's true. Speculate. Well, wait. Where has your progress at Spider-Man essentially gotten to?
Oh, yeah. So,
did you ever beat
or
that?
Have you played it at all?
I have. Thought about picking it up.
Okay.
But no, I have not ended up buying it yet. So
you're at about 0%.
I'm at like negative 15%. I still have to go to the store and buy it. But
that's okay. It's a short campaign. You'll catch up quick.
I was going to say, just Redbox that shit.
Yeah, you'll finish it in time.
I literally just Redbox that shit.
I made the mistake of buying it.
You really, really, like you don't...
I bought the game. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't think that I'm going to get $60 worth of gameplay out of it.
You're not excited for any DLC coming out or anything like that?
No. Do you want me to just ship it to you and I'll pay you a convenience fee?
You'll pay me a convenience fee?
Oh, no. Never mind.
Maybe.
You can
pay
me
it.
a small convenience fee and I'll sell it to you for a very small, like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I don't know what shipping costs are, but...
I'm excited for the DLC.
So you could red box it again?
No, I'm not going to do that,
DLC.
Though. No, I'm not going to do
that. That'd be weird.
But the game is definitely, I would still say yes, it is a fun, good buy.
It's a really good game, yeah.
It's real, real good. I'm glad I did just red box it.
Because it's over pretty quickly.
Because it is over pretty quickly.
Did you platinum it?
I did not platinum it. I red boxed it. I had a limited amount of time to do things. So I was like, okay, I could do this side thing right here. Yeah, I do see you, Research Station. I know I want to go in so badly, but I really got to beat this game.
Those are the worst quest types anyway.
They
the Research Stations.
Hated flying through those stupid smog clouds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually probably the first one that you encounter. I don't know. The Research Stations are pretty bad. There's also this drone chase thing that's a little annoying. Like, the web-swinging mechanic is better than any other Spider-Man I've played, but it's... still not to the level of control that I would like without, I think, a very massive learning curve.
Sure.
To get the movement down just right with precision.
Hey, man. The only downside I have to it is the whole if you happen to web swing just a second too late and you do the Spider-Man like, but you're like going this way across the ground. And then he pulls out the web and he's like, oh yeah.
So if you are, yeah, if you release from the web swing and then you reactivate the web swing when you should be hitting the ground, he just like floats above the ground for half a second before he shoots another web. So instead of hitting the ground, you just like suspend your momentum in the air and you don't lose any more vertical height before you get back to swinging. Which is weird because there's later a mechanic in the game that you can unlock that lets you essentially roll from landing and then immediately spring back into the air pretty high to keep your momentum up. And mm-hmm. so it's like, well, why don't you just let me fall to the ground then, and I have to pay the bonus points to actually use this ability, because otherwise, having the ability, I never used it once. Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
But fun game. I still consider it a buy. It's definitely on my, probably going to be one of my games of the year, depending on what comes out later this year.
Have you played God of War?
No, I can't.
Because you don't like Norse mythology?
No.
Or children?
It's the... It's
red tattoos.
It's the God of War effect. So God of War 1, I really loved. Great game. God of War 2 came out. Played about 20 minutes of it. That PlayStation 2 broke. Bought a new PlayStation 2. Played about 30 minutes of it. That PlayStation 2 broke. Bought a third PlayStation 2. The actual game broke. Bought a second copy of God of War 2. The actual game broke. God of War 3 comes out. Tell one of my friends this, and he's like, oh yeah, this is so cool though. You should totally gotta play it. I got done pushing old buddy's eyes in God of War 3 on the PlayStation 3, and then all of a sudden, whatever her face is, your mom, she's coming, but then
your mom?
Or whatever her name
Athena?
Is.
Athena?
Yeah, Athena comes out and she's talking to you, and the next thing you know, her skull is over here, but the rest of her body's still walking forward, and then his PlayStation 3 starts making a really weird noise.
You're like,
so what you're telling me is it's not your aversion to the series, it's more out of concern for your hardware.
Yeah, and pretty much. So it's like I'm cursed to never play a God of War game, so I'm not even gonna attempt Boy Simulator.
That's a bummer, because that game is like, I have maybe one or two complaints about that game, but it's surprisingly good.
If you want to bring your PlayStation 4 over and let me play.
If you want to sacrifice your PlayStation.
I know I've got two here, but I really don't want to have to get another one. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I haven't played God of War and will not play God of War, because I've had such bad luck with God of War 2 and God of War 3.
Well, this one's not even called God of War 4. It's just God of War.
So maybe you might
be fine.
Yeah.
So maybe I will be fine. But yeah, if you want to bring your PlayStation 4 over and we can hook that up and I can try it out.
I've been looking to upgrade. This would be a fair excuse.
I can always loan you the copy we have, so...
Yeah, but then I'd have to plug it into
might be broken. Yeah. Any other topics? Is it worth noting that Telltale's games may be entering a civil suit over the... I remember this
mass,
to some extent.
Mass layoff, not having a 90-day warning.
Yeah. Something of that nature in California, it's illegal.
Yeah, if you lay off more than 95% of your staff without any kind of a warning, then it's illegal, but you can slowly, over a week, just fire everybody, I guess. That's what they should have did. They should have been like, okay, guys, we got 2 weeks to lay everybody off.
All right, it's 1 p.m. Okay, crew two, you're out of here. Sorry. All right, it's 3 p.m. That's enough time, I'd say.
Hey, Dan, Dave, Chelsea, Sarah, Arnold, grab your closest associates here. We've got a special bonus meeting for you guys
out in the parking lot. Please bring everything from your desk. You will not be returning. It's a team building exercise.
All right, guys, and now you're all going to go home and role play that you've been laid off.
How long do we role play for?
We'll let you know. Deletes contact information. Actually, on that note, Cookie, Neil, I want you to look straight ahead of you. Please escort that podcast host to our meeting outside in your driveway.
Am I getting fired for being in my own house?
I really love what you've done with the place. We got some outside investment. I think that, I mean, it's worth mentioning because we decided to go ahead and continue off the news. I actually just pulled up the lawsuit here. It's available from classaction.org. It is Vernie Roberts Jr. on his own behalf and on behalf of all other persons similarly situated versus Telltale Games. It's a class action complaint, violation of Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act of California Labor Code 1400. So they're going to go ahead and run the lawsuit because this is a civil action for collection of unpaid wages and benefits for 60 calendar days pursuant to the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act of 1988. I promise this isn't very long. And its California counterpart, California Labor Code 1400. Employees were terminated as a part of or as a result of the shutdown or mass layoff ordered by the defendant. The defendant violated the WARN Act, the WARN Act, by failing to give the plaintiff and the class of similarly situated employees at least 60 days advance written notice of termination.
But how could they give that one guy they hired the week before 60 days notice?
That's true. They have to keep that man for 60 days now. He's one of the selected staff that remained on, I'm sure. Yeah, it doesn't say what the lawsuit ultimately is looking for in damages up here immediately. So I don't know ultimately what the penalty could be if they win as the plaintiffs. But
I'm curious if it would be substantial enough to prevent the studio from being able to uphold its agreements with Minecraft with Netflix.
That'd be great. I'm 100% against corporations getting off the hook for treating people poorly.
But we have to treat corporations like people, Scott.
Yeah, but sometimes people are dicks and they deserve the consequences for their actions. And corporations can do the exact same thing.
So I have a question for the two of you. How likely do you think that we're going to ever get The Walking Dead season or final season completed?
It's not happening.
Never?
It's not happening.
You don't think it's ever going to be picked up by another studio?
I don't have confidence in it. And part of the reason why is because Telltale has already essentially demonstrated or elucidated the information that it's not an incredibly profitable enterprise in the first place. And so when you're looking at something where you're taking resources that could go to something else that may have a better chance at payout, why would you pick something that you're expecting to get like an average to a mediocre payout on for the right investment of labor and time?
Well, at least from the reports or the rumors that had circulated, the only game that they had that was profitable in modern Telltale era was the first season of Walking Dead.
Exactly. And so it's like, why would you pick up a project that's already been like suggested to be somewhat financially risky and or doomed?
But on the flip side, there's a lot of publicity behind this game now.
Yeah, but it's publicity that would make me a consumer very reluctant to buy a Telltale game.
Pretty much.
Well, so the only way it's going to ever come out at this point is if there is an acquisition of the IP. But I mean, like, can you acquire...
It's in our game.
It's now an MMO.
Yeah.
Can you acquire an IP like that? That has a like
another IP baked into it,
right? Exactly. That's a curious question.
Very complicated in a legal sense. I can only imagine because you'd have to essentially reestablish contract with the original IP used for the derivative IP. Like you can't just take like they didn't buy the rights to do The Walking Dead without getting into some sort of contractual obligation that there right is some control or relation to the original IP owners. For The Walking Dead, what is it? Television series, and before that, there was a comic book, right? And so it's like derivative after derivative. You're like further and further down the chain in which you can actually implement any sort of like effectual change to storytelling. I feel like your hands get tied the further and further down you go on a derivative IP chain, essentially. For them to have cleared it with Telltale, they had to work with whoever owns the IP of both the show, and then if the show is coordinating with whoever owns the IP of the comic, it's like you either circumvent all of that, go immediately to the top of whoever owns essentially what you would consider like the superior, like overarching IP rights, or you'd go through the chain of command. And either one of those sounds like a huge nuisance. Yeah, is it worth the risk? I don't know.
You go to,
I'm super risk averse when it comes to running my giant corporations and businesses.
Would you go to AMC to pay them, or would you go to the comic book company?
Comic writer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it depends. Like, I mean, and it's probably not even half as complicated as like Spider-Man, Batman, and those
those are super
IPs
easy.
Are.
You just go to Marvel and DC.
You think, really? Like,
yeah, because they're the underlying owners of that. So
yeah,
you
don't get to keep your IP, right? When you're a part of a big publisher like Marvel,
yeah,
like, you essentially relinquish control.
Yeah, you're pretty much. So let me rephrase. You don't go to Marvel. You go to Disney and DC.
So in that case, then
you just go to Disney because I'm pretty sure they somehow own DC Comics well.
I'm pretty sure Disney owns everything at this point.
I actually consult Disney before I, you know, like eat breakfast in the morning.
Just, Disney, do I have the right to eat these scrambled eggs?
No. No, you don't.
It's like, does Disney
remember
own...
you're gluten free?
Does Disney have the rights to Dr. Seuss in like a movie format?
I think so. Yeah.
So you have to ask him anytime you make your green scrambled eggs.
Oh, I was going to say your fourth Grinch movie or whatever, which is coming out.
Yeah, I saw that. At what point did the Jim Carrey movie not like
solidify
that was a bad idea? That's a creepy ass movie, actually.
It's great. It's an American classic.
I have a surprising amount of respect for that film for some reason.
Because it's a good horror film?
Gives you all the good member berries.
I just think it's such like a jarringly weird film that I accept it as like this abomination that should have never happened. But as far as like execution of a movie is not bad.
Okay, yeah. So this will tell me a lot about your thought process regarding that movie. Did you like Cable Guy?
What's Cable Guy?
It's another Jim Carrey movie where he is a cable guy who kidnaps a family, possibly. And
he just wants to be friends with them, man.
He kidnaps a family.
He doesn't
really
kidnap them.
And then at some point, he's electrocuted on their roof, or maybe it's a power line antenna. I don't really remember. I think there was a helicopter in there, but he's just want to be friends.
And he dies?
And he dies all weird. I think, okay. Maybe. I don't know. It was a weird fucking movie.
Well, okay. If you haven't seen it, I can't draw any conclusions.
I'm not a huge fan of Jim Carrey, actually. But
at all?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm proud of you.
50 Days of Summer.
50 Days of Summer is...
I thought it was 500
Days of Summer. All right,
he's
know
not
what?
In that.
He's not in that.
Oh, shit. You're right. No. All right. Like all right. Not a very... No, my bad. My bad. Yes,
no,
man. Yes,
thinking,
man.
You're thinking, yeah, I was like, you're thinking of a twee pixie dream girl named Zooey Deschanel and the role that she played for like most of the early 2000s or whatever. Yes, Man was okay. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Which one was Yes Man?
It's the one where he can't say no to anything.
I thought that was Adam
Sandler. Nope. That's 50 First Dates. Another
back to 50. Back to 50. What about Spotless Mind? I can't figure the full title
of it.
I'm not going to shame anybody on here, but I have a friend who really, really likes that movie, and I think it's one that you watch once and then you never worry about again.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. But yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, it was all right. But okay, here is the defense I'm going to make for
the
both
movie
of
about
those opinions.
Of removing your memories of
wiping
a relationship.
The memories of his bad relationship with his
girlfriend.
Oh,
I thought it was
ex-girlfriend.
I thought it ended up having something to do with like child molestation.
Isn't that the one where you put the mask on and then you become a different person with green skin?
V for Vendetta?
No, he's talking about the mask.
No,
I like that.
And okay, so maybe
Let me defend. Sure. Those two opinions are based primarily more on the associated cast besides Jim Carrey, though. His co-worker at the office, for instance, in Yes Man, he plays the agent for Brett and Jermaine in Flight of the Conchords and a couple other movies. He's
really
hilarious. I love him. He's very funny. It's the rest of these like ensemble casts that I really like in these movies, less than Jim Carrey carrying the movie with his own performance.
Okay, so what about, is it The Truman Show, I think is what it's
haven't
called?
Seen it.
Okay.
Have you not seen The Truman Show?
Because, I don't know. I tried to watch it once, and I got a couple minutes in, and it was like, there's other things for me to do. I'll get back to this later, and that's how I often like condemn a movie to never being seen, because it's like I already started it, like I've sort of seen it.
It's funny because as I'm recollecting all of these, I'm realizing that Jim Carrey's
like the movie is the number 23.
I haven't seen that one, but I've been interested to see it.
It's worth seeing.
A lot of the movies that I like of Jim Carrey's are not his typical movies, like not typical Jim Carrey comedian. Like I don't think
not
I'd
being
like,
very goofy and emotive.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like Ace Ventura if I watched it again.
That's Lizzie's like that's Lizzie's go to is Ace Ventura. So I'm just not also a fan of Jim Carrey. Why are we talking about Jim Carrey so much?
I don't know.
In gaming news, PlayStation's back down a little bit.
What do you mean back down?
Oh, on crossplay stuff?
On crossplay stuff.
What the hell has happened while I've been
I know,
tied
I
to
did
my
not
office?
Hear about this. Yeah, I heard PlayStation's back down. And I'm just like, tell me it's crossplay, please.
Yeah, no, they are now allowing Fortnite to crossplay with the Switch, Xbox, and everything else. They are slowly backing down and backing away. So I'm glad to hear this, but that wasn't the thing that pissed me off about the Fortnite not allowing crossplay. The thing that pissed me off about the Fortnite not allowing crossplay was I couldn't sign into Fortnite on my fucking Switch.
So you still are tied to the PlayStation 4 once you...
I think I still am. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't tried to go back. I really don't have an interest in playing Fortnite, but it is nice that they are now allowing crossplay again to happen because they turned it off for Rocket League for a while, and it might be back on?
Oh, I hope so. That I really enjoyed that. Rocket League crossplay with PlayStation was my favorite crossplay game. You want to feel old? That wedding I was at last night, a bunch of the kids were doing Fortnite dances, and I didn't know. And someone was like, oh, they're all doing Fortnite dances.
Well, this is your friend Kyle. That's
an old head.
This was your friend Kyle getting married, the one that's the same age as you, right?
He is the same age as me. It's a different Kyle than the Kyle I think you know.
Oh, okay.
It is a different Kyle than the Kyle we both know.
Yeah. But yes, it was another Kyle. I brought my other Kyle to that wedding, though.
It was a real Kyle catastrophe.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw kids dancing, and I was like, these are weird dances. What are these? And when someone explained it was Fortnite to me, I realized that, yes, I have, in fact, aged out of the, like, children and, like, young adult zeitgeist, I guess.
If it makes you feel any better, all the people I hang out with besides you two are babies, basically. The group.
You gotta rephrase that.
The group that
is this why you live near
night?
Play days and skate days?
Pretty much.
Like nobody else wants to rollerblade with me.
Pretty much. The group that I was with last night, I think the oldest person there was 25.
Okay. I mean, I just turned 26, so that's not that far out.
Why are you lying to me?
No, I really
Oh,
did.
Yeah, he's yeah. also a baby. I forgot about this.
This is my last day of health insurance.
So besides you.
Yeah.
Besides you, everyone I hang out with are children.
It's not called Neil Old on camera.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on PlayStation backing down? Are you excited for this?
Have you heard about this?
Is it gonna affect you at all?
No, because I don't play online games.
What did I say to you the first day you came? What other types of games do you play besides sad, lonely?
Lonely, sad, single-player RPGs. And I was like, it's a little harsh.
And I was like, damn, you know what? Now that I think about it, yeah. That's the first time I ever said that out loud. But fuck, yeah, that was mean.
You are the biggest online gamer between us, but that is partially because Neil and I play online games on the computer.
Yeah.
And there are a couple that I think are very well-suited for that I don't deviate from them very much. League of Legends, Rocket League. Like, between the two of those and then Dark Souls, I don't really know any other games that I derive more enjoyment from being online than the same amount or less.
Like, I play games for primarily two releases or, like, fulfillments. The first one is, like, an emotional fulfillment, because I don't get that
Which
from my everyday
that
life.
Which is that sad, lonely single-player RPG.
But, like, I mean, like, I play games, you know, those types of games I play for, like, the emotions it gives me. And, like, that. So that's why I put a lot of emphasis into, like, the music and the story, the character development, and so forth. And then the second game is that type of game is, like, I'm super competitive, but not like
not on a basketball court, so we have to go online.
Right. So that's actually a really great thing that you brought up, because I love basketball. I loved playing basketball, but I'm just like, I'm not athletic enough to play basketball at a highly competitive level.
And so you can't satisfy that competitive drive.
Yeah. And like, and it's also just from the fact that like really competitive, rewarding basketball is not just one-on-one play. It's like, it's being coached and running set plays and just fucking dumpstering teams because they don't know how to handle pick and rolls and some real simple plays.
So basically what you're saying is we need to get a team together to play
on the
PlayStation 3 to play a basketball game.
You don't want that's me when you can have your basketball.
Okay, we can play a soccer game.
Well,
okay,
so, yeah. So, I mean, like, that actually all sounds extremely fun. It would be amazing to actually have, like, Madden, for instance, to have, like, 5 or 6 people play per team. Because who wants to really play a lineman, right? That's kind of whatever. But, like, your running backs, your wide receivers, your quarter... All right, you're in the minority, okay? Endomic and Sue, or whatever his name is.
Summa Kaladi? Sorry.
You were right. You were wrong. Let's move on.
So those things interest me. I love the idea of like team-oriented strategy games and like and ones that also like involve a level of technical prowess to be good at. A lot of these things I'm describing, you think I would also really enjoy MMOs because there is a competitive level to that. What even if it's just PvE? MMOs
are lame.
Yeah, and they turn me off because a lot of it is based on like the numbers as opposed to individual skill. So MOBAs, I was looking for that. They tend to fit this perfect place because it's a mixture of strategy,
numbers,
technical talent or skills,
numbers,
teamwork,
and it's obvious how competitive it is because there's a competitive scene. So, like, if I was to ever play another first-person shooter, like in a competitive fashion, because that's what I would get. It'd be either CS:GO, Rainbow Six Siege, or Overwatch, exactly.
So, not to extend things too much longer, but as someone who started Resident Evil with Resident Evil 4, how excited should I be about Resident Evil 2?
Very excited. You're going back to the
Leon
original.
Kennedy?
Yeah, to the Leon, to the OG, to pretty much, you might as well be playing Felicia on Darksiders.
Okay. That doesn't ring a bell to me for anything, but...
It's okay. It doesn't ring a bell for 90% of the Resident Evil community because I just threw a fighting game reference in there.
Okay.
Wait, did you mean Darkstalkers?
Yeah, what did I say?
I thought you said Darksiders.
I did say Darksiders.
But I thought you meant Darkstalkers. But, yeah,
Darkstalkers. Excuse me. Yes.
So it's curious because Resident Evil 4 has like a level of...
Black people? No, that was 5.
No
black people.
Only Spaniards. Yep. Or Ganados, I guess.
Apparently, with our like early 2000s like racist lens, the blackest people in Western Europe.
Oof.
Yeah. So,
Luis, okay. To answer your question though, it's weird because 4. Resident Evil 2 will hopefully play pretty similar to that, but I think most of the games since 4, excluding 7, are 4 with a quote unquote upgraded control scheme, like 5 and 6,
and
although
7.
6 kind of dropped the ball. 7's back to first person though, but
oh yeah,
or not back, it's new first person.
Was 6 the one with the giraffe thing?
Yes,
yeah,
I think
we were
so
talking about, okay.
I didn't beat 6, so I don't think I want to be familiar.
I'm talking
with
about
it.
the 6th symbol looked like a, never mind this, if you go back to a very old episode of ours we talk about it, but essentially it was a weird looking symbol.
I think this guy's crazy.
No, I'm pulling it up right. I'll show you after.
But 2, like, so 2 and 1 had like a level of campiness to them that was different from 4. Like, you're not roundhouse kicking anyone or suplexing anyone as Leon. But who's to say what 2 is actually going to be like? Yeah, it's totally a giraffe. Okay. I see. The thing is, like, with how much they're changing Resident Evil 2, I don't even know like what to expect and whether or not this is going to be like a good fit for you.
Well, good news is they're also bringing back Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some form. I forget what it is. But either way.
You'll have to keep me in the loop.
Are either of you guys excited for the Final Fantasy games being brought to Switch?
I haven't.
Well, Switch and PlayStation.
Oh, wait. Which Final Fantasy games?
I'm sorry for, I didn't need to get that excited. Crystal Chronicles?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If it's on Switch and the three of us get it, I'm very excited. I'd love to play it with you guys. If it's just me, I don't think I can play that game alone anymore.
Like, well,
it gets boring alone quickly.
If the three of us get it and it is on Switch, how will the online work?
Yeah, is it online?
Oh, yeah, it should be online.
Does that mean I have to pay for the online service?
The $20 a year or something like that.
How will the online work? Because you don't have to pay for the online service for Fortnite.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, I'm paying for the online service because...
Have you started paying for the online service yet?
No, but as soon as Smash Ultimate drops, there's no escaping that.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the final thing that's forced my hand to pay for an online subscription to something.
Hey, Scott, you want to join my family?
Yeah, I mean, I already thought I was.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did call me first family.
Hold up, though. Did you already look into the family plan? Because I don't think that works across multiple Switches.
Does it not? I thought it did.
We talked about it, and we were waffling between whether it did or not.
No, I think I found something that basically said, yes, it works across multiple Switches. Because otherwise, why would you get a family plan? Because then only one person will be able to use it at a time.
Well, right, because if you get a single user account, exactly, on one Switch. Because if I'm not mistaken, the single user account, which is the cheapest, means that one account on the Switch can use it. But if you get the family pass, that means up to however many on the same Switch can use it.
But only one person can use the Switch. Why are you using fucking multiple accounts? Most games nowadays have multiple save files.
Because maybe on Splatoon, for instance, you want your profile with your win rank and stuff to be different from your loved ones or one of your siblings.
Trashing your Elo.
Yeah. Like I don't want anyone playing on this Splatoon.
This is our secret producer slowly mind controlling you, right? She's like, you're trash on everything you do, so you can't touch anything on my Switch.
I don't play.
That's
not
mind
Splatoon.
Control. That's Broken Spirit.
Oh,
I don't really play. I don't think there are any games that we play or both play that are online. Now that I think of it, unless like Breath of the Wild
or
suddenly
League.
Develops an online.
Oh, you just mean
she doesn't play League anymore, though. So,
oh God.
That's
I would enjoy.
It has been less toxic actually recently.
No, that's actually the reason why she doesn't play. I think is partly because people are so toxic.
Are toxic, yeah. Horrible. That's why I play with like a 4-man made group or more, because then only one person on my team can flame me, and I can just mute them a lot easier.
That's a whole nother story, and that's getting way off topic. If you have comments or questions, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com.
If you like what you're hearing, don't be afraid to tell us on Apple Podcasts.
And please tell a friend about our podcast. I came all the way out to Omaha just to spread the word at the center of our United States, so we had a better like radial distribution. But I'm back to the west side of the state soon to try and start another node of distribution. You need those zones of reformation, guys. Am I right?
Is this, are we the
EU4?
Are we the Catholics or the Protestants? Wait, no, you'd have to be the Protestants or the Reformed.
I've been playing a lot of India/Middle East, so I think we're Shia at this point.
I think,
sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh my God, stop it. I don't want to play.
I think EU4 has basically died for me, and I probably won't play any like grand strategy games
too
until.
Too bad, because they just updated it, and it's really great.
Gotta wait for that Total War Three Kingdoms.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.
Peace.